Well, good morning again. As I was thinking about this message this past week, I reflected on how I'm coming up on an anniversary, you know, being here for a year, and in a lot of ways, how I am still the new guy in many different areas. You know, when you leave a childhood home, you realize there's a lot of things you just don't know about the new areas, and there's a lot of things that you have to discover on your own. You have to find new doctors. You have to find new teachers, new babysitters, new family-friendly places to go to. And, you know, when you find yourself in a situation where you need to find a repairman or you need to find a new mechanic or doctor, you get a little worried about it. You know, if you're like me, you look for the first person that comes up online and you're like, all right, that's the person I'm going to go with and we'll do that, right? Isn't that what everybody else does? No? No, of course not. You look for reviews. You find different opinions of other people. You try to figure out their experiences and were they good experiences? Were they bad experiences? You know, you'll hear these horror stories of just you don't want to see this person at all. But then you'll hear these, you know, awesome stories that seem too good to be true. And then you find out they're about the same person. And then you just have to experience it for yourself and just roll the dice and see if it works. You know, that's what happens a lot of times in our life. And in similar fashion, I think that people approach church in the same way. You know, there's a lot of different reviews that you can find. You could hear a lot of different stories and opinions about the people, the building, the music, the preacher, the website, the coffee. You know, a lot of reasons that people will look at to determine whether or not they're going to go to that church. You know, there's a lot of different styles. There's a lot of different things that we can focus on, and it could be mind-boggling for us. Hopefully, the main focus of the church is Jesus. Hopefully, Christ is the center. But we know many times we can get caught up with the different programming and who's sitting in our seat or took my parking spot or the type of music that we sing that it can just overwhelm. You know, and I think that people tend to focus on those things because they're tangible, they're controllable, they're preferences. You know, when we treat church this way, we can use our senses to experience it and know what it's like. But then we tend to shift those thoughts to God. You know, when we think about God and we think about the tangibility or the controllability of that, a lot of the experiences are in the past. You hear about the different events that are recorded in the scriptures. Now, there might be some events or experiences that you have in your life, hopefully through a strong salvation story or an answered prayer here and there. But a lot of times, it's not tangible in the ways that we like. It's not controllable in the ways that we like. So we then have to put our trust or our faith in what we experience, what we hear people saying, what we read in the Word. With our religions, with our thoughts about God comes faith. It's a little bit more intangible than that repairman review. But you know, as we think about the reviews, I tend to think that that evangelism works that way today, where people are coming to faith in more of a slow type of process, where there's a lot of questions, a lot of cynicism, a lot of doubts. You know, as with any format, the person needs to experience the Spirit of God in their life, making them into the new creation. You know, questions aren't bad, but you know, it's also comes to a point in time where you have to make that decision in your life. Is this something that I put my faith and trust in? Or is this something I'm going to continue to question for the rest of my life? It's why salvation or a church type of experience needs to be more than just an altar call or saying a sinner's prayer. You know, our salvation is a work of God, working in our lives where we understand what God has done for us. And as we begin this series about what God has done, hopefully we're going to be answering some of these questions or doubts that you might have in your own faith. in order to give us confidence in who God is. You know, through the series that we just finished, we understand, hopefully, who God is, and we're going to lean on that a little bit. Through this upcoming series, it's going to have a lot of different styles. There's going to be a lot of different thought-provoking discussions, things that you're going to have to do on your own. Some weeks, the messages are going to be very apologetic, meaning being able to give a defense of your faith. Some weeks are going to be very high in teaching, where you're going to go through different views on different topics or subjects. Some weeks, it's going to be very uplifting and encouraging to your faith in a way that's going to shake your faith to move you forward, to help you wrestle with different things in the texts. I also want to include personal testimonies about what God has done in your lives. So yes, I know this is scary to get up in front of people and talk, but honestly, you guys aren't that bad of a group to do this with. And I know that a lot of you have that type of fear, so we can accommodate. I can do a video interview, or I can share on your behalf. But you know, as we just went through the series, making a connection to who God is based on your own experiences, if we can make a connection in your life, what God has done in your life, it makes that connection a lot stronger. And at the same time, you're able to uplift your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. So as we're able to share those testimonies, we can be praising God. So I want you to be thinking and praying about, you know, whether or not the Holy Spirit wants you to share different things that God has done in your life to bring Him joy, to bring Him glory. Now, as I've laid out this series, I've not narrowed down each week or even each topic. So this gives us a little bit of freedom to stick to an area longer if we need to. Some of the topics are going to be better left for a Sunday school or a small group discussion. So as you're going through something and something's, you know, ruminating in your mind, feel free to bring that up to me, Mike, Nancy, or Brett, and we can put it on a schedule for something with Sunday school, where we can have discussions about some of these topics and dive a lot deeper than we can on a Sunday morning. We're going to be walking through a lot of the Old Testament events to look at what God has done. We're going to look at creation. We're going to look at the fall, the covenant, the Exodus journey, the kings and exile. I will try to focus on the promises of God and their fulfillments. That way we can see the positive reviews of God. But I also look at some of the negative reviews of God that people have, the barriers to faith that they struggle with. Something like, well, I don't believe in God of the Old Testament because He just kills everybody and He's always angry. You know, we're going to address these types of topics and subjects in order to equip us for the conversations that we are to be having in our lives. You know, parents, as you are equipping your children, whether you're having a conversation with your spouse, your coworkers, or your neighbors, wherever your mission field is, part of the job of the church is to equip you as believers. And as you talk to people, you're going to find that they're going to have the weirdest barriers. But those weird barriers are very important to them. And they're roadblocks to their faith. You will also find well-meaning Christians that you respect, maybe even people in this room. Not saying you don't respect people in this room, but people in this room where you might have disagreements, where they might believe something a little bit differently than you. You know, you think about creation and all the different views about creation. What do you believe about creation, and why does it matter? You know, it's one of the first things that we're going to jump into. And it's difficult because a lot of the material is better suited for a Sunday school or a small group, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how in depth we'd actually go. And as I have shared a little bit this morning with some of the guys, as I've looked at a lot of material this past week, just be prepared next week. It's going to be a fire hose. It's a lot of information to wade through. And it's very important for us to do that as well. You know, so as we go through this sermon series, feel free to give feedback. You know, if something's way over your head, or if you're not understanding, or, you know, if there's something that you want me to hit, or if you have questions, you know, we want to look at what God has done. And that is both vague and personal. Okay, so we want to understand this in both sentences. Growing up, I knew Jesus died for my sins, but I couldn't articulate my faith. I couldn't tell exactly what God did. I didn't know the scriptures. So as we look at this job of the church to equip the believers, we need to know what we believe in. And we need to know it. Because as you go out and you talk to others, if you don't know what you believe and can stand on it firmly with your foundation, you're just going to be spit up or chewed up and spit out by moral relativism, by subjective truth, by secularism today, that don't want to give any credence to the Bible, that don't want to give any thought to God in terms of a valid worldview or valid in terms of describing things like the origins. And when we don't know what we believe or when we get in those conversations, it relegates us basically to being silent, or we're shut down because we don't know what to say. Now, when we talk about this kind of stuff, we need to know that people are going to have objections and that we don't have to have all the answers. But what you need to do is be confident in the truth that you do have, given to us in the Word, given to us through our time in prayer, so that our foundation will not be shaken. So to kick off this morning, I ask that you would join me in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, I'm going to read the first six verses. It says, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones." Father, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds this morning. Help us to understand what we've already learned. Help us to remember those things in terms of who you are as God. And Lord, help us to dive into these subjects of what you have done and why we have our faith firmly planted in you as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, help us to give you the glory this morning as we rejoice studying your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this psalm here, it's just one of the passages in the Psalms that kind of reflect this idea, this theme that I'm going to continually call back to hopefully center us with our focus for this series, reflecting on the wondrous things that God has done. And as you look at this passage, you see I only read the first six verses and it continues on, right? So it goes on and the author then goes through the wondrous things that the Israelites were to remember through their history, kind of beginning with the Exodus after the covenants. You know, the covenants that God made with Abraham was to be their God and they were to be his people. He was going to give him offspring more numerous than the stars, more numerous than the sand on the seashore. Okay, and then he promised them to give them their own land. And then on their way to that land, many miraculous things were done for the people that they were to remember through the Exodus journey. Of course, there's many things before the covenant, too, that we're going to talk about in terms of, like I said, creation, the flood, the fall, even the separation of the nations. So the Israelites, a lot of times, they would start here with the covenant because it made their faith very personal to them. It made it personal in terms of who God was to the Israelites. And when we think about that in your own life. Why do we come each week? Why do we have faith? You know, what would be included if you were to give a review about God in your life? What would you say about that? You know, true, it's going to be easier to give a review about Harvest Alliance because, as I said, you can see the tangible things. You can experience the potluck food. Is it great? I mean, is it okay? Subpar? You can give a review about that. But when you raise the stakes and you begin to talk about God, how specific are you able to be? in determining who he is and what he has done in your life. So I want you to think about that for homework. And when I give homework, especially in the summertime, just know that it's for your own good. That's another classic parenting line, isn't it? I love that one. Just, or you'll thank me later. That's always a good one too. But you know, as we look at verse 1 in our passage, I can go back, I think, a little bit. We see this charge to the people to call on the name of the Lord. Right? They were to make known his deeds. So as I said, this is a common theme in the Psalms to kind of recount what the Lord has done for them. They wanted to keep these things to the forefront of their minds, right? Because they would tend to get distracted. They would tend to go back to their ways of comfort. They would fall back into the same patterns of idolatry. So hopefully the similarities to today are not lost on us. As we look at this verse and we compare it to our own lives, we do need to make sure that we're giving thanks. Not because I say so, but because we are truly thankful for who God is and what he's done in our lives. You know, as I asked, are we certain of what God has done in our lives? Are we sharing that with others to keep that in the forefront of our mind? You know, as you're hearing about these things in the series, we want to make connections. And we want to think about what the Lord has done, what we believe about these different topics. What do we believe about what the Word says? You know, as we think about that, why do we talk about the cross every week? It's to remind us of the grace that we've received. It's to remind us what Jesus did for us on the cross, to keep that in the forefront of our minds so that we remember why we come, why we have faith, because we can so easily be distracted. How about a different example? Have I told you recently about this experience that I've had? I've had a couple of crazy weeks, and I went to the zoo a few weeks ago, and I saw a purple and pink polka-dotted rhinoceros who jumped in a hot air balloon after he stole all the ice cream cones of the kids. Did I tell you about that? Can you picture it in your mind? If not, I did have a sketch artist draw one for me. Or how about when you get one of those annoying songs stuck in your head? You know, whether it's the Double Mint themes jingle, whether it's, oh, I don't know, the Barney theme song or Let It Go from Frozen. What do I watch? You know. Now, you'll thank me later that I didn't play those songs. And if you're already singing them in your own head, then that's on you, that's not on me. But you can see how quickly, as you're guided in your thoughts, things come to the forefront of your mind. You see different things, you hear different things, and it sticks with you. But it does make you wonder, what is it that we spend our time talking to others about? I mean, what is on the forefront of our minds? How is our energy being spent for the Lord? How much of our time is being spent singing his praises, as the word says? Speaking of his wondrous deeds in verse 2. You know, as we look at our own lives, there's a good rule of thumb when I talk about discipleship. And that is, we want to make sure that we're always learning from someone. We want to make sure that we're always learning with someone. And that we're lead learning, or we're teaching or mentoring another person along the way. If we're able to do this, we understand that we are commanded to be making disciples as we are going. You know, when you look at these three questions in your life, can you identify three different people that this would satisfy? You know, in terms of our Christian faith, in terms of leading someone, drawing someone closer to Christ, learning from somebody about Christ, and learning with somebody speaking about Christ. You know, through this series, through this passage this morning, there's a warning. You know, because as I've said, we have a bent to go in the opposite direction of Christ in our lives. We push against his ways and his teachings. And we need to be fully surrendered to praise his name for what he's done and for who he is And part of that is seen in verses 3 and 4 of our passage this morning. You know, as Christians, we need to be seeking the Lord. Through that seeking, we are rejoicing. Because as we're seeking, we're reliving, we're recounting who God is and what he has done. We continually find his truth, his presence, his strength. You know, your relationship with God is your own, right? It's reflective of the energy that you are putting into it. I can't do that for you. I can guide you, I can instruct you, I can teach you, but you have to have ownership in your relationship with God. And again, that's reflective of the energy that you're putting into it. As you're doing this, as you're seeking the Lord, your natural response is going to be one of joy. Because you'll be praising and you'll be remembering what he has done. Now, I understand it's a process to get to this type of a point. You know, I certainly have a very cynical and skeptical mind. I like to question a lot of things and test what I hear through accuracy. So I always make sure I go right to the internet, and if I find it there, I know it's true. Oh yeah, I also like to be sarcastic and humorous. But you know, as we look at verse 5, it says for us to remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments that he has uttered. So for the Israelites, as I said, they were told of the things that the Lord has done since their birth. It was taught to them by their fathers, and it was passed down from generation to generation. The main miracles revolved around the Exodus journey. But then there were different events added in, especially through the life of David, where people would recognize how God had worked in David's life. And David would give praise because of how his enemies were dealt with or the blessings that he had received in his life. So even as we go through this series, as we look at the teaching that's passed down from the Bible, we want to know that our experiences are important to building our faith and our confidence in God. They don't equate with Scripture, but they confirm Scripture as we look at the promises of God, as you look at your salvation. You're able to tie those experiences and give you that tangibility that we always look for, that we always try to control. We know it's there based on what the Word says. See, we need to approach this series with assuming a few things. And I'll be making these assumptions as we go along. The first is we need to understand who God is as the Most High, as the Sovereign God. You know, the series that we just went through. We need to believe what we've discussed about this and what the Bible says. Second thing I'm going to assume is, or at least that we need to address in our own lives, is this question about Scripture. What is our view of Scripture? Is it in the inerrant Word of God? Is there contradictions? Is there something other than Scripture that we can refer to? Hopefully these are just easy questions for you, but it's something that you need to know and address. Can you trust what the Bible says? So as we address that question, it's going to be crucial to how you answer based on where we're going to be going. You know, as we look at the first topic of creation, you know, we need to understand that the assault has been on for years to destroy the root of the Bible with creation and the origins being eroded from the teaching of natural humanism and evolution in our schools. Saying that the Bible is myth, that's a fairy tale, that you cannot believe it. So part of the big questions that are going to be coming up in our thought processes will be, do we trust in God's word? Do we trust in man's word? Is there a combination of both where both sides can be happy? So as you can hopefully see, we're going to be diving into some very serious, heavy type of topics. You know, for some of the topics, understanding the work of God is going to be difficult because there was not an eyewitness present. So our theories, our beliefs, our knowledge comes from our faith. Our faith in human understandings of sciences, our faith in the Word of God. Both sides deal with mysteries and faith because there was nobody there to witness it. Another thing that I'm going to be assuming is that as we approach these topics, we all will have presuppositions in our minds, meaning we already have things that we believe as we approach the scriptures. Maybe you already have a viewpoint in your mind of what you believe about creation or the origins. Maybe you already have a viewpoint about what the fall or the flood means. We just need to be aware of what those thoughts are, because those thoughts will dictate how we understand the scriptures that we're reading. We also need to be aware that there's going to be differing views, even in this room, about some of our topics. And my prayer, kind of as we finished up the men's Bible study this year, was given by R.C. Sproul as he said that, as believers, we need to be able to respect each other's interpretations, understanding that all interpretations will have some shortcomings. And the final authority on the matter comes down to the authority of Scripture. So even with Scripture, we have to understand that you pick an argument, or you pick a topic, Calvinism, Arminianism. Both sides will have Scripture that they use to defend their position. As people are convinced, as people look at their views, as they wrestle with Scripture, the final authority must come down to the Bible. Okay, not saying absolutely that this is the truth in this matter, especially when there's so much mystery that's surrounding some of these topics. There are definite theologies, definite doctrines that are found in Scripture that we do adhere to. But the ones that are the man-made theories, the ones where there's not the eyewitnesses, the ones where it's based on faith or the interpretations of the Scripture, the genre, and things like that, we want to give a little bit of room to understand and allow God to work. So just kind of be open to those presuppositions in your own minds and what those mean to you. As we are seeking the Lord through reading the Word, as we're with Him in prayer, as we are fellowshipping with other believers, ironing, sharpening iron, we will rejoice because we are keeping God in the forefront of our minds and our hearts instead of the other things and idols in our lives. As we do that, we can rejoice about Him and what He has done. So as we look at these wondrous deeds, as we are seeking the Lord, we come to the final piece this morning in verse 6. And what I see there is our identity. This verse and the context here, it's written to a certain group of people as a plea to know who they are. But as they're being identified here, as we see that, they're the offspring of Abraham. So the children of the covenant, the servant of God, the children of the 12 tribes of Israel, the chosen ones. Identity is something that many of us struggle with, especially in our teenage years, but nowadays it's into our 20s and 30s and beyond, midlife crises and things like that. Identity needs to be placed in something that cannot be taken away, because once it's gone, what then happens to who you are, or who you've built yourself up to be? If I identify myself solely as Elaine's husband, what happens if Elaine dies? Who am I then, right? If you only attach yourself and your identity to your position at work, to the type of car you drive, to the type of house you live in, what happens when those things are taken away? We have to root ourselves and our identity in something that cannot be taken away, and that is Christ. As you seek God, you're able to understand His holy name, and you're able to glory in that, as it says in verse 3. And that word glory in that verse is a verb, meaning it is to take great pride, great pleasure in His holy name, in who He is. We studied holiness and the character of God last fall in Sunday school, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that for now. But just know that as we are spending time with the Lord, seeking Him in the Word, in our prayer life, we're able to then understand the wills and the plans of God in our lives. We're able to see how He's trying to conform us into the image of His Son We are then called to reflect this same holiness to bring him glory. You know, as you read the word, you're going to find the different names that God has identified you with. You know, that you are justified, that you are redeemed, that you are chosen, that you are saints or holy ones. These titles that are bestowed upon us give us hope, give us a glimpse at the grace that we've received through what Jesus has done on the cross. You know, this identification that we have because of what Jesus did should make us be joyful. We should be the most joyful people on the planet because we have been redeemed, because we have been saved from our life of sin. No matter what trials or hardships that we're going through, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be tough. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard. But in the midst of it, we can find joy. We can find hope because of who he is and what he has done. You know, this morning we come to church to praise God for that. That he sent his son to die. That he paid that price, the atoning sacrifice in our lives. That he considers us redeemed and justified. How do you feel in your hearts? Have you experienced that joy anew this morning? As we've spent time in prayers, we've spent time in fellowship, in worshiping in song, and reading the word. Do you experience that joy in your life? Thinking back to what Christ did on the cross, remembering the wondrous deeds of our Lord and Savior. We need to remember where we've come from. And we need to remember what we've been saved from. But then we look forward to what we're saved unto. Life eternal with him in heaven, in paradise. The new heaven, the new earth. And then as we reflect on that, we look at the life of praise and worship that we live in the here and now. You know, it's not about our past. It's not all about our future, because we have a lot of things that we are to be doing here for the kingdom of God. And to do that, we need to understand what's on the forefront of our minds. Are we living a life of joy and of praise, worshiping him, serving him by doing his commands, loving him, loving others, making disciples as we're going about in our life, fully living in and understanding the grace that we've received and that we've been given, having the confidence in God that even if everything is crashing down all around us, he is still holding us by his strength, by his presence, by his love. And if you don't feel that, or if you don't experience that on a daily basis or on a Sunday morning, continue to seek, as the word tells us. Continue to seek Jesus through the word, through your prayer time. Again, those experiences, a lot of times, are a reflection of the energy that you're putting into it. So continue to seek. Don't give up doing that. And as you're seeking, give him thanks. Give thanks to the one who is able to keep you from stumbling, the one that is able to keep you blameless before the Father in the presence of his glory and his holiness as we seek to become more like the image of Christ each and every day with each passing moment. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the wondrous things that you have done in our lives, in history, and how that impacts us. Father, there's such a strong balance between truth and love. You know, we don't want to be completely all about truth because then it just becomes legalistic. And we don't want to be completely all about love because then it's just permissive. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand that as we wrestle with different things in the word in our lives, that we are seeking your will, your face in the matter. That we're spending time in the word. That we're spending time seeking you in prayer. That we're spending time with our brothers and sisters in Christ to build each other up, to equip each other, to encourage each other, to rejoice as they rejoice and mourn as they mourn. Father, what a wonderful day you have made. And Lord, we are alive for times such as these, to praise your name, to serve you. Lord, to be living sacrifices, completely surrendered to worship you. Father, I praise you for the cross. I praise you for the sin that you have saved me from. And Lord, I pray for my own heart to be repentant, to be remorseful so that I can turn to you more and keep my focus on you. Lord, this week I just pray that we would reflect on how we would give you a review. Not that that matters, because you are God. But Lord, for our review, I just ask that you would help us to know you more, to know what you've done and know what we believe, to be able to give voice to that, so that we can spread your gospel message to the ends of the earth, to whoever it is that you put in front of us, Lord, that we reflect on you all the time so that we could do nothing but sing your praises. Convict us where we need convicted. Encourage us and lift us up in our moments of being down. And Lord, strengthen us as we rejoice. Not forgetting what you have done. In your name I pray. Amen.